I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, the time has come. It's WrestleMania, baby. This Sunday in Dallas, AT&T Stadium, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, and it is here. And we have got a huge, huge guest and a huge show. Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll. The remedy for boredom has arrived, and it's the Friday of WrestleMania weekend. Like I said, WrestleMania 32 in Dallas, and today I got the women's champion, the Divas champion, the WWE Divas champion. Charlotte is going to be here. She's got a huge three-way match for the Divas championship against Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. They've both been Talk is Jericho alumni. They are Talk is Jericho alumni. Charlotte's the one girl that hasn't been on, and she's on today. Huge things we're going to be talking about. We're talking about WrestleMania, talking about the three-way match. Also going to talk about her dad, Ric Flair, one of the greatest of all time, what it's like working with him and traveling with him. She's traveling with her dad, guys. Remember that. We'll touch on her brother, Reed, who passed away a few years ago, and the role he played in getting Charlotte's pro wrestling career started. Charlotte's also got a great Dusty Rhodes impression, as per usual. A favorite match, some funny stories about her time in NXT. I've known her for years. We were in Europe one time together, had some good times. She's a very, very cool chick, a little bit shy, but she comes out of the box and rocks it. Here on Talk is Jericho, we're going to find out how she got her name and gimmick. Charlotte, I think she should have been called Carolina North, but we'll talk about that as well. Great guest here. The WWE Divas Champion Charlotte is here today on Talk is Jericho. I will be in Dallas on Sunday. I will be in Dallas on Monday. I'll be in Houston on Tuesday. And then Wednesday and Thursday, it's back in the rock and roll game with Metal Allegiance. That's Chris Jericho, Mike Portnoy, Chuck Billy, Mark Esquita, Alex Skolnick, Bumblefoot. I will be singing with them on April 6th at the Chameleon Club in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I'll be in the Gramercy Theater in New York on April 7th. There are tickets available for both shows. Get them at Ticketfly.com. It's a heavy metal supergroup. I will not be doing any Fozzy songs, but we're doing all of the greatest bands of all time. Ozzy, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Scorpions, Van Halen, Accept, you name it, we're going to be there singing them. It's just like we used to do at the beginning of Fozzy. Now we're doing it with Metal Allegiance, the premier heavy metal supergroup in the world today. Get your tickets at Ticketfly.com and come see me and the boys rock it April 6th, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, April 7th, New York City.
Talk is Jericho.
All right, so we're laughing because we're in Erie, Pennsylvania, and they stuck us in the umpire's room, which is kind of like a closet. It kind of smells in here, like Icy Hot or something.
When you texted me that, I wasn't sure what you meant. What room?
Umpire's
room. Is it going to be on a white piece of paper taped to the door?
Yeah, I know. I just get wherever I can, and they just stick me wherever. But I'm here with Charlotte, which is so funny because I always actually put you in my phone as Ashley. Like, it's hard for me to say, like, hi, Charlotte.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. With just because you've known me so long.
Yeah. With the most obvious of names, too. I was like, oh, that's so great. Charlotte. I get it. Because you're from Charlotte.
Very original, right?
Yeah, exactly. But here you are, though. This is great because it's right before WrestleMania. And is this your first WrestleMania?
I was in Hunter's Entrance 2 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. So
tell me about that. Which one was that? That wasn't the Terminator one.
It was New Orleans.
Was it the Conan one? What was he doing?
Where he came out in the throne, and I was one of the...
Really?
Greek goddess chicks.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I didn't know that.
I was trembling and to think I'm going to be wrestling.
But what did you
and I just stood there and had to like look at him like what, he was a king.
What did you have like the did you have the palm fronds that you were waving at him, or were you wearing masks or so? What did you
have? We had masks on.
Oh,
it was me, Sasha, and Alexa Bliss.
You're kidding me.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, we were there for Access with NXT. And he came and grabbed the three of us and goes, guess what? And we were like, what? We just figured it was something with Access. And he's like, I want you guys to be in my entrance. And we met with him and with the wardrobe people. And he explained what his entrance and what his vision was. And it was awesome. They filmed it. And he said before he had his own match against Daniel Bryan, he said, this won't be your last WrestleMania moment. He said that to the three of us. So me and Sasha in the three-way.
Do you think that he wanted you out there just to get a taste of what it would be like in front of that many people? Or
I never looked at it that way. Maybe.
You know, when you think about it, right? Because you could have just taken three random models or whatever.
I know, that's what we said. We were like, you could have grabbed models easily. And he was like, no, I wanted the three of you.
I think maybe so you get a taste of what that feeling is like and that energy.
I also stood on stage at WrestleMania 24 when my dad was inducted into the Hall of Fame on the Stars.
Oh, okay.
At the Citrus Bowl as well.
So you've had a couple WrestleMania experiences.
I don't consider that.
Yeah, the first one.
I was standing there with my...
As part of the family.
Yeah, with my two brothers and sister. But
now...
But the arenas, they shake. The stadiums, it's crazy.
How do you mean?
With that many people, it's... looking at you as well. There's no way to describe it. I mean, it's a rush.
And you can feel like, I know what you mean.
You can feel the energy. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I don't know how to explain it unless you have.
I've always said like a stadium crowd is like a big faceless monster.
It is.
In that you just see this rumbling and this rippling and this movement, but you can't really pick out you try to pick out one person and it blows your mind because there's so many there. So it's just like this living entity that surrounds you, you know? And now this year, it's not going to be on stage, not going to be the queen of Egypt or whatever the hell you were.
That's what I felt like.
That's what it was. I'm the princess.
I'm Cleopatra.
Yes, duh. Hello. But now for your first WrestleMania match, you're going in as the champ, Divas champion, with Sasha and Becky, who are two of your best friends, at least, or you've known them for a long time.
Yep.
How do you feel about that? I mean, how is that for you?
You know, I get tagged in promo pictures for Mania with the two of them, and... I keep just thinking it's like, you know, the NXT book. Because it's hard to think, just last year, Sasha and I were wrestling in San Jose, which was our biggest crowd yet.
At the NXT show in San Jose.
At the NXT show. And to think a year later, the three of us are in a WrestleMania match representing the main roster in the Divas Championship. And, you know, not that... there's not, you know, the other main roster girls in our match, but it's just the three of us. And that's, I'm really speechless. I just can't, it's hard to believe that it's happened so fast.
It's amazing too, when you're out there with such close friends, you know, like whenever you work with your friends, it's always a little bit more exciting.
I know. And you know, it's funny. I don't look at, you know, when I look at Sasha, you know, to everyone, she's the boss. But I, you know, look at her the same when she came in 3 months after me, this hungry, you know, a girl out to prove, you know, who she is and what she wants and women's wrestling. And to see her, you know, get to this point. And the same with Becky, you know, she was wrestling and then she left. And, you know, you ever hear Becky's story? She's pretty much done it all.
Yeah, she's got a great story. Yeah.
Yeah, and to see both of them fulfilling their dreams and to be a part of it and to see where, you know, them grow, it's a unbelievable experience.
But you're fulfilling each other's dreams together.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? It seems so amazing.
And that we're sharing this moment together.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, too, is with the NXT girls, you guys have had matches in the past that have main evented, you know, I say pay-per-views, but whatever they call it, takeovers, mm-hmm. specials. You're main eventing them, or you're stealing the show at them, having the best matches at them. There's a chance you guys could do that this year at WrestleMania. I mean, there really is. Not to put pressure on you.
No, no. Yeah, it's because we all want the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we all have the same... I'm trying to think of how to put this. What makes it, you know, the matches, you know, get... It's because we all work for each other. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to... So
right.
to have three girls knowing that they'll do whatever it takes for you and for the other two... You know, that's, you know, I think why we've gotten as far as we
have. Yeah.
I mean, besides the chemistry, it's because we all have, we want to be viewed as just super, you know, superstars, not, you know, they're just divas. Mm-hmm, no, mm-hmm. We want to tell people that, you know, girls can steal the show, that we're just not eye candy.
Do you think that's interesting that you brought that up? Do you think there's a little bit of a negative connotation to the word diva? Like, would you like to see that word be gone and just be superstars?
I know people talk about it all the time, but I really don't think about it that, mm-hmm. to be honest, I don't. Because I'm like, if I can be athletic, strong, dominant, and compared to the men and be called a diva, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, you know, things need to, I guess, evolve. Mm-hmm. So maybe changing it from... divas to women's championship, you know, it was just more of an upgrade, update, mm-hmm. updating as time goes on, not necessarily saying, well, it shouldn't be the divas anymore because that term is negative or it sends a bad message. But
yeah, I don't think it's negative. I just think because it was branded as something from, you know, 2006, yeah. 2007, 2008, when it was the girls were working hard, but they were bikini models and, you know, models and just basically like hot girls that were learning to wrestle, and you guys are also very hot girls, but you came in knowing how to wrestle and training. So it just seems like, you know, the Divas Revolution is not just as far as putting more women's segments on the show, it's changing the perception of what a diva in the WWE is.
No, 100%. Yeah, but it's kind of too, it's just, you don't want to, you know, say, well, the Divas title doesn't mean anything.
It means a lot. Yeah,
it means a lot. So yeah. By saying I want, you know, I would like to see it change into the women's championship, mm-hmm. I don't want to take away credit from the Divas title.
Yeah, that makes sense. You want to keep the Divas name but change the perception of what a diva is, basically.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. But you guys have been doing that.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, it's been really cool to see, because that was the verdict at first, the Divas Revolution, which looks great as a hashtag, but it takes a while for people to buy into it and for you guys to figure out how do we do this.
Oh, and it was, I mean, from NXT to the main roster, it's a completely different ballgame.
Hmm.
100%. Because, you know, at NXT, the crowd and the audience saw us evolve into what we were. So they knew Charlotte's story, they knew Sasha Banks' story, they knew Becky Lynch's story. And then when you get to the main roster, it's like, okay, we're going to package you. Here you are. Call it the Divas Revolution.
Yeah.
And just expect people to know who you are and
right.
know your backstory and understand, you know, for instance, I never used the figure eight. I maybe used it like twice in NXT. And then once I get to the main roster, it's like, that's her move. Well, no, why all of a sudden now does she,
yeah.
she, you know, she just woos Ric Flair's daughter. That's it. But I evolved in NXT. So debuting on the main roster and expecting people to understand you, get your story, was difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you had your NXT, you know, fans or fan base that still, you know, followed you, but the universe in the main roster is much different.
Right.
Bigger audience, and you're appealing to so many different demographics.
I went through that when I was in ECW years ago, is that I knew because I'd worked other places, but there was guys in ECW, which is not as big as NXT, but the same idea. And they would leave that ECW environment and couldn't figure out why they weren't over anymore. But the ECW fans were so rabid and knew every little yep. thing, and you'd be, and then go somewhere else and no one would know who you are.
Yeah.
It's kind of what happens, I think, a lot with NXT, where you're working all these big buildings, all these places, but then you come here and it's completely different fan base in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and they don't understand, you know, I hate to use, you know, the gimmicks. Like mm-hmm. they sometimes, for instance, Bo Dallas is a good example. the Bo Leave thing kind of happened over time. So they understand, like, the fans knew why he was like, I Bo Leave. And then you just take that and debut it on the main roster. They're like, why is he, what's this Bo Leave? Right. And they understand the story.
Yeah, and there wasn't enough time to build the characters properly.
Yeah.
And for you guys, there was three girls debuted at once, and then there's three different factions. There's Team Bad, there's Team PCB or whatever.
And Team Bella.
It's getting confusing as to who's who, right? But now you're getting a chance to evolve out of that.
Yeah.
Which is all part of the growing pains of debuting in the WWE. We all went through it, you know?
And that's, at NXT, you know, it took time to get where we were. It wasn't all of a sudden the four horsewomen. You know, we all went through babyface heel, and different stories and different groups. You know, I started off with the BFFs with Summer Rae and Sasha, and then I went, you know,
what does that stand
for? I guess best friends forever. I had to think about that.
I didn't know if you had an extra name, like beating.
No.
Eating four freaks or something. I don't know. So it was the BFFs. Okay.
Yeah, just best friends forever. And, you know, when we debuted on the main roster, I think the NXT core base of fans were like, well, this isn't what they were in NXT. But no, it was a restart. So everything that we had accomplished in NXT, we were not going to accomplish the first month. I mean, it's still going to take 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
That's what was frustrating, because it's like people were expecting this and, you know, 25-minute matches. And but no, like we need to earn our place on the main roster just like we earned it in NXT. It's different. Just because we all are under the WWE umbrella, it's not the same.
That's a great point. Because fans will be that way for everybody.
Yes.
Why don't we get 25? I want to see Charlotte main event the pay-per-view. Yes, but maybe not in the year. You know, it might take some time.
Yeah.
To build that, right?
I mean, I wasn't even on NXT. I started in FCW. It'll be 4 years in July. I think
since you started wrestling.
Started wrestling. 4 years in July. And then I wasn't even on NXT till almost, you know, February of that next year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I kind of view the main roster. Not that, okay, I wasn't going to get TV time or be on Raw, but it was, I mean, it's just a gradual process.
Sure.
It's, you know, relearning even the talent on the main roster. You know, you learn to know everyone in NXT, but it's a family too, even, sure, you know, working with the camera people, mm-hmm, working, you know,
and even with the divas that have been here.
Yes, exactly.
Like the Bellas, etc. They've been here for 7, 6, 8 years.
Yeah.
You're not just going to come in and kick all of them out of here either, right?
No, like they, you know, they're kind of the leaders.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, it's WrestleMania weekend. I'm sitting here with Divas champion Charlotte. She's having a big three-way match with Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks at the big show in WrestleMania in the stadium on Sunday. We're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk about your dad, Ric Flair. I mean, many will say he's the greatest of all time. And I'm sure at first you get labeled as that. Well, there's Flair's daughter. It's a big shadow, right?
Oh, yes. It's funny because if I could... I'm very shy on social media. I stick I say little words because I don't like few words when I get like...
No, just little words.
Hi. Little words.
And,
hi.
But.
BRB.
BFF.
Throwback Thursday, TBT. No, but I, you know, it's almost people that don't know me. It's like, you know, Charlotte just really likes to throw her dad out there. You know, I'm Ric Flair's daughter. I'm this and that. But if people actually understood really how I personally felt, personally, it's like, you know, when they told me they were going to stick my dad with me. Yes, he is my dad, but to this business, he's Ric Flair. Arguably one of the greatest of all time. And I'm thinking night after night, I have to share camera time with him. Holy crap. Like, here I'm trying to get over. Here I'm trying to pave my way in this industry and not just look at as, well, Flair's daughter is just getting this because, you know, she's Flair's daughter or she's close to Hunter and Stephanie. It's like, no, I have to share the camera with Ric Flair and, you know, come across as entertaining, you know, get over, just, you know, people call me Charlotte, just not Ric Flair's daughter. Mm-hmm. So every time I go on there, I'm thinking, I'm sharing the stage with Ric Flair. How am I going to do this tonight? I want to be just as good as him. Not that, hey, I'm, you know, this is cool, I'm with my dad, but no, I'm like, every night I have to go out there and Ric Flair's beside me. And I feel like most talent would feel that way. And they think, you know, oh, it's just her and her dad. But no, I'm thinking, I'm looking at him as not competition, but I'm looking at him as I have to get better. I have to be better. I have to be better than you, Dad, because when I'm in the ring, I want to be just as good, if not better, than my opponents. That's, you know, my drive. That's what made the Four Horsewomen in NXT so passionate and get to where we are today, is because we wanted to be better than the next. Mm-hmm. We wanted to go out there and steal the show. And that's how I feel when I step on stage with my dad. It's like, well, I don't care that you're Ric Flair. You know, I want to be just as good as a performer, and I want the fans to feel something. I either want them to hate me, I either want them to love me. You know, they love you. I know when I come out and they see me and they're like, boo, and they see him and they're like, yay. You know,
that's hard too.
That's hard too. Because I don't know if people ever think, you know, am I aware of that? But I'm 100% aware of it. So I'm looking forward to that moment when I get to, you know, turn on him, hopefully. But really, that's how I feel. Like it's a lot of pressure on me.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't take it as like, oh, I'm just getting, you know, the luxury of, hey, I have Ric Flair with me every night. I look at it as, you know, something that's going to make me that much better in the future.
Yeah, something that helps, and it also hurts.
Yeah,
well, to have that name value, that name of
absolutely
Flair. You know, it's interesting though. The other night I was watching a promo that you did where Rick came out, and he didn't say anything. You said the whole thing. You got some good heat. I think you had the Kleenex and were crying maybe. And I was like, Flair is now the not background, but he's the sidekick in the act. Which is says huge compliment for you that you were able to start to get over this.
Thanks.
You know what I mean? Like that's like if Flair was my manager, I'd be so intimidated. Like, what do I do?
Well, that's what, you know, it's a little insecurity of mine, but I was thinking, you know, are they putting me with my dad because I'm, you know, I'm not that good on the mic. Mm. So I'm like, dang it, I have to get better. Like, I don't want my dad to take my time. Like, I seriously, like, was thinking that. Like, I got to get better on this. And I work on it all the time, knowing that, like, you know, and like you said, I feel like that was a moment for me.
Yes.
When I was like, he just handed me the tissue and I was able to get the fans, you know, booing. Like, I was like, yes, I'm getting somewhere now.
Well, we were talking yesterday, and I said you're actually being a heel now. You're not playing one. You know the difference?
Well, you know, when you pulled me aside, I had a backstage with Brie, and we were talking about Nikki. And you pulled me aside and you gave me some really great tips. You know, you don't have to be over the top. You know, say it like, you know, I'm really sorry. Or, you know, when I was talking about Nikki,
and sarcastically, and yeah,
he was like, you don't need to be. It just comes across as heelish anyways. And I was like, oh, I never thought of it. Mm-hmm. You know, just talk like me, like you, well, I was to her, and with the same content, it'll be even that much more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
So I've tried to, you know, add on to that ever since.
Did you, when you were a kid and you were growing up with Flair as your dad, I mean, how was that for you? Like, I know, like, my dad played pro hockey until I was 7. So everyone thought, oh my gosh, you're Ted Irvin's son. But then he retired, you know, I'm like, ah, so much be so cool. But to me, it was just my dad. But then he retired, you know, I was 7. But you have been Ric Flair's daughter, and he's still in the damn business. He's not going anywhere.
Because I didn't, I mean, you know, I went on tour with him a lot. We had some fun. I never really realize what he meant to the wrestling world.
Ah, right.
Until I started wrestling, because I hate to say it, but it was never a dream of mine growing up. Obviously it was my brother. So to me, I was like, yeah, my dad's famous. That's cool. It was hard sometimes in high school. When I had really big volleyball games, cause the kids would taunt me.
Oh really?
College, I liked it.
Cause you're a big time volleyball player. That's cause it was your first sport. Yeah. So how would the kids taunt you in high school?
They would just woo and strut up and down the court and like, Yeah, and they did that in college too. So it was hard that way, and then him being gone. But it, I never. He really was just dad. That's it. Even when I went on tour with him towards the end of my junior and senior year, I never really realized, you know, how, you know, the industry worked or what he meant to. I mean, I knew he was important, but now, you know, I looked at him the other day as we were driving down the road and I said, I can understand now why you never wanted to quit and why you lost yourself after you retired in 07, because it really does become your life. And that feeling that you get when you step on stage, there's nothing else in the world like it. And the bond, you know, with the boys and the girls backstage, I get it. Yeah. I get it now. Mm. And that's, he's Ric Flair here and he's Ric Flair at home. I mean, just it never changes.
Did you ever like bring boyfriends home to introduce your dad, and what was their reactions? Did they think it was cool or...
I mean, luckily he was gone a lot, but there was we had a huge party one summer, I think after junior year, and my dad came home early and he was on date with my mom, and we had like kegs and stuff, and he freaked out. I was like 1980 promo freak out. I was like, oh, I'm never going to be able to attend senior year.
Like, it was bad. What was he saying? They just yelling at
everybody? No, he was just like throwing the boxes. Get this beer out of here now. Like freaking out. Ashley, get to your room. I'm sure there was some cuss words in there. And the kids were like, holy shit, Ric Flair's emptying our beer. I'm like, oh God, this is so bad.
Which is so funny because Rick has a reputation of having a good time all the time as well.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that was ever a problem for you. Oh, yeah, sure, Dad. You can go have fun and I can't.
Yeah. I think he actually took one of the cases of beer upstairs. I was looking at it like, that's my beer that I spend my money. Anywho.
So you mentioned how you started wrestling 4 years ago. You kind of were late starting in the business after being around it your whole life. What finally made you decide, like, I want to give this a try? Because, like I said, I remember you going on tour a few times, and you're always in great shape, and you always like looked like you were training, and you had a great athletic body, but you were never into the wrestling at all.
WrestleMania 24, not WrestleMania 24. It was 2013. When the Four Horsemen got inducted in Miami. So it'll be 4 years in April. I was at dinner with John Laurinaitis, my dad, my little brother Reed, and Johnny was talking to Reed about what he needed to do, you know.
Because Reed was training to wrestle as well, or was wrestling.
Yeah, he'd been on the indies, and Johnny was just telling him what he needed to do to get into FCW at the time. And then Johnny was like, you know, why aren't you doing this? And at the time I was personal training, living in Charlotte. I was like, I don't know. And then Reed and I were just talking. He's like, you got to do this. And I was like, okay. I don't know. I don't. It just, I was like, you know, I really want to be there. And if Reed's going, we can go together and get out of Charlotte together. And, I reported in July, literally April, May, June, July, 4 months later. And I also thought to, I don't know if I've ever really said this to any, you know, buddy, but I actually thought if I, you know, got into FCW and was doing really well, that it would push Reed to try a little bit harder on certain things to fulfill his dreams. So if I could get in, we could be there together. And that never happened, but that's really why I started. And I remember my dad looking at me and he said, you know, if you're going to do this, don't half-ass it. Like, cause you know, he knew that this was never a dream of mine. So he was like, you have to put as much dedication to this as you did volleyball and cheerleading and gymnastics, diving. I mean, I played it all. And I was like, okay, Dad, I will. Like, you know, just chill. So really when I walked the door that first day, I had no idea what I was walking into or what to expect. But, you know, when I met the girls and the first time I stepped in the ring, I fell in love with it.
You're almost the natural to progress that far in such a short period of time. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Well, you know, well, too, they hired Sarah Del Rey. So
to be the coach for the girls.
So yeah. I showed up in July. She showed up in October or September. And I think a lot, I have to give credit to the girls. My developmental experience was with Paige, Sasha, Becky, Bailey. So
what a crew.
I was like, either I learn how to play or I'm going to be on the sidelines, and I don't like being on the sidelines. So have, oh, Emma, hello.
Oh, right.
Emma, sorry. Not, you know, they were all like, I remember sitting, watching a tag match between Sasha, Summer, Paige, and Emma. And this was before I think even Bailey got there, and definitely Becky. And I was like, I don't like sitting here. I mean, I know I don't know what I'm doing yet, but I don't like this. And them all having experience and me, you know, rolling around with them, them raising my ability, that's,
yeah,
I think,
raised the bar for you.
Yeah, that's, I think, what got, you know, I was athletic. I could pick up moves fast, but I really think that's what made the difference.
So important when you first start training. Like, I trained in Calgary, and there was a bunch of scrubs, just dudes that just showed up, thought it'd be fun to be a wrestler. And then thank God there was Lance Storm was there.
Mm.
And you know, we started on
Lance.
The same, great guy, but we started on the same day. Had he not been there, I wouldn't have finished the camp. Had I not been there, he wouldn't have finished. We might have finished, but we wouldn't have done anything because there was nobody to push us. And he was so good at certain things, and I was so good at other things. We could push each other almost in a FU sort of way so that when we finished that camp, we were both ready to go to a certain extent.
Yeah.
You had the same thing with 100%. Those girls you were talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of like so they had to lead me, right? So they were getting practice. Because I don't know how I know our training was different than their training in Indies. Like, they had to relearn psychology, but you know, they're leading me and I'm learning how to follow while learn just all of it. It was just great for everybody, I think. And it really worked out for me having all those girls with so much experience.
Sure. And plus the fact, like you said, that you've been so successful in all these other sports and all these other things that you're not taking no for an answer.
No.
You know, you don't want to be in the sidelines.
I don't like – no, I just – seriously, Jerry, I remember sitting there being like, well, this ain't – I've never sat on the sidelines in any sport.
What
the heck?
What is this wooden
thing?
Why
am I sitting behind the curtain? I don't like this. And I just – I was on a mission, and I was really going to figure it out. And two, people ask me all the time, but my dad really did not – you know, he did not, I don't think, see me wrestle – but once, until he came to me in Natty's match at TakeOver when
really?
I won the... No, because he always told me, wrestling is something you have to learn on your own. I can't... You know, so I learned, you know, the phrases like heel, baby face, and all those things on my own through... He didn't, you know, clue me in on anything. Hmm. So when I started to come to him and I started to pick up the lingo, he was like, this is so... weird. But yeah, so not until now do I even share. I learned it all just through being developmental like any other kid, even though he was
Ric Flair.
Done it all.
How about when you were a kid, did you know that wrestling was a show, or did he ever tell you, or you just figured it out on your own?
I knew it was a show, and I knew the term baby face, but I really didn't know what went into. I had no idea, and it's cool too because I'm still learning, because I still am so green to the business. Like, I still learn something new about, you know, match structure and what makes a great everyone still learns, but I learned the moves. Then I learned, okay, why aren't the fans connecting with me? Okay, oh, I have to have a character. Okay, you know, what does a baby face need to do? What does a heel do? You know, the difference in, like, it was year. So it's...
Well, that's what you're talking about. Less than 4 years, and look at the level that you're at. Can you imagine 4 years from now?
Oh.
How much further up you'll be mentally?
Yeah.
You know, because wrestling is all the psychology, the thinking. That's the most important thing.
What's been cool too, just in the last couple of months, I've been able to enjoy feeling the crowd, and that's just now where I've gotten to. Like, oh, I might have, you know, pretended like I was doing.
You were playing heel.
I was playing heel. Yeah. But getting to that point just in the last 2 or 3 months, especially running Becky Lynch and I have been running Divas Championship matches on house shows for like the last month or two, and just growing in that experience and just going out there, and it's getting to that level as a performer. That's where I'm at. It's been, it's I'm like, oh, this is so much fun.
Becoming second nature.
Yeah.
You don't even have to think.
Yeah.
That's when you can just go out to the ring with nothing. And just see, okay, what do we got out here?
Well, let's not get crazy.
No, I'm saying you're getting closer there. To that.
Yeah.
Which is the ultimate test.
Absolutely.
You know, just go out there with nothing.
Let's go play.
Yeah. Do you think, too, I mean, you mentioned Reed before and how you were trying to push him. After he passed away, did you feel that, you know, you now have this responsibility for his honor and for his memory to get – to make it to the top?
So this crushes me, but Reed never got a chance to see me wrestle.
Oh, really?
So the Reed passed away the weekend before WrestleMania in New York.
Yes.
I was actually scheduled to fly out to Access and wrestle Paige. And this was right before she won the NXT Women's Championship. So we had this like big singles that, you know, was going to be at Access, and Reed was supposed to be there to see me wrestle, and he passed away. And then I remember getting the call, and they were like, you know, we'd love you to still come to, you know, WrestleMania. I'm like, no, I don't want the fans seeing me crying or whatever. And I sat at home. So then next thing you know, NXT Arrival happens that January. So that's what, 8 months later?
Yes.
And I remember sitting backstage watching Paige and Emma, and I'm like, God, that's where I want to be. And not that I wrestle in Reed's honor, but I just know that it was his dream, and I'm gonna make his dream come true.
Yeah.
So it's not even his memory. Just I feel like he's getting his dream right now.
He's vicariously through you that's happening.
Yeah, and a lot of it, too, is I saw Reed struggle so much on the indies, and as a kid being his son and being compared to him and knowing that he couldn't mentally handle it. I mean, he could, but I think he had a lot of demons over it.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that I'm handling it and that I'm doing it for him, and that I won't let those people get to me. And I'm like, Reed, you know, you're getting your dream right now, and people can, compare me and Dad, but, you know, we're continuing his legacy or an extension of it. And that's all Reed ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or continue the legacy of Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing to me, not amazing, but with Reed's passing, and then David in the 90s was doing this, didn't have the natural ability either. You could tell in over his head, because it's Ric Flair's son, and they got him wearing the robes and he's bleaching his hair. So you can't do that.
Well, they threw him to the wolves.
Right.
No, you can't. And like, I'm a female and still, you know, get the
comparison.
The comparison. Yeah. I can't imagine what David felt. I mean, I saw what Reed felt, and it killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so to me, I like look at all those people and I'm like, raise that title high. I'm like, you can hate me or not, but I'm going to get better every day. Because like, I mean, David never even stepped foot in a ring until they just threw him out in WCW, and they were like, huh, this is Rick's son. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, I was there.
You saw it.
It wasn't fair, because like you said, he might have been able to do okay, but not under that circumstance right off the bat.
No.
That takes years of seasoning under the name of Flair. Oh my gosh.
And then make him look like him.
Yeah. You can't.
No, and then, you know, he went to England afterwards, and then Puerto Rico, but he never got the chance to come to WWE. But I do think things work out
the
way they're supposed to. And I know David, you know, maybe have wished that he could have another run at WWE, but I think he's happy where he is. But it's just terrible.
But it's like it's like Muhammad Ali's daughter ends up being a great boxer. You know, Ric Flair's daughter ends up on the way to becoming a great pro wrestler, which is like, you know, you just never know. And you have that natural X factor that you can try and give to the people. Either you got it or you don't, though.
Oh, yeah. You know? And it's cool, too, because, like, David, I can vent to him.
Oh, yeah.
Now. I don't vent to my dad, because my dad's like, Why do you pay attention? I'm like, Dad, I'm human. He's like, you think I was reading the internet when I was 38, 40? I'm like,
they didn't have
No, they didn't have That's what I should say. No, but I can vent to David because he was in the, you know.
He's a what's
he's
the word?
Been through it.
Yeah, he's the child of Ric Flair.
Yes. So when I want to, if I'm like upset or want to or, you know, just kind of be a baby about stuff, I can call him. Can't call Dad. He's like, why are you upset?
Does he ever give you advice, Rick? And tips on anything in the ring?
Oh, yeah. His biggest thing, not about the moves or but when I walk through the curtain, you cannot let someone know you're not confident in that moment or they'll see right through you.
When you go out
when
to
I
the
go
ring,
when I when walk come- like the minute the camera hit like sees me, you have to ooze every bit, whether you feel confident or not. People will see through it. So you know that those first few seconds are the most important, because if you look nervous, then they're gonna not buy it or what's the word, not eat you up, but he's just, you have to,
they'll see through it,
you'll see through what you're trying
to
portray.
You commit
yeah, no matter how you're feeling or what, you commit to how you want Charlotte to be portrayed to the audience.
It's a great piece of advice.
Thank you.
That confidence is so important. Yeah. When you're in the ring, because like you said, it's anything, even if you're on stage with a rock and roll band or whatever. Yep. It may be, if you're not committed and believe what you're doing, people will see through it and you're done.
Yep.
If you wear a rubber duck hat to the ring and you're committed to it and this is the coolest thing in
exactly,
the world,
exactly,
a unicorn horn.
Yeah,
people start wearing unicorn horns.
Yeah,
right.
The good point with New Day and the horn. Yeah. Yeah, or the unicorn thingy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that, and too, you know, if you mess up in a match, he's like, they don't know unless you show them.
Yeah.
With your face. Like, that's another, mm-hmm. You know, they don't know. Yeah. So if why would you stop? Right. Not stop, but why would you let them be like, oh, she messed up, you know? Yeah. So no, I mean, if you forget something, just remember your story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, Natty and I last night, if there was any chance that there was a mess up, I was going to go for the figure four. That's our story, you know? It doesn't matter.
That's the story you're telling, is you're trying to put the figure four on, yeah. And she's trying to put the sharpshooter on. So, no matter what happens,
you get lost, you just go for the figure four. They won't know it. Collect yourself.
That's good.
Yeah.
Another good one I like is, Vince taught me this one as a heel. So, if you forget a line or screw up a word, you can just be like, God, you guys are driving me so crazy. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. I forgot what I was going to do. Like, this crowd is so terrible. I forgot everything I was supposed to say. Like that sort of a thing. You have no rules.
As a heel. William Regal once said, I remember this too, in terms of when I kind of transitioned to babyface when I was wrestling Sasha. Babyfaces can mess up, but it's being endearing to the fans. So I'm in this huge match, right? And my hair, my extensions were falling out. So the match ended and I'm like, oh, there's my hair extension. I'm going to pick this up. And I just looked at the fans and was like, and made this smile, like whatever. But they didn't.
Yeah.
They felt it with me, because it was like,
you can't ignore it.
Not endearing,
But it does endear you with them. It's self-effacing humor. Like,
yes.
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do?
Taking the piss
out
of yourself.
Here's my hair.
Yeah. Because you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
It's right there.
No, you can't.
You can see it. Right? Did somebody pull it out? Oh, yeah. You should have what?
It was like we were in a – maybe it was a four-way. It wasn't a singles. And the hair, like I was on the outside and it got stuck on the – I was leaning against the rail. And I was like, oh, my hair. So when the match ended, I like grabbed it and like went to you know, like raise my hand, and I had it in my hair, and I was like, hey, and just like this little,
like a trophy,
like, oh, sorry. Yeah.
I scalped myself.
But I remember Regal saying, like, don't be embarrassed when something like that happens. You know, the fans want, they'll get it with you as a big, if you're a baby face.
You have a self-effacing sense of humor.
Yeah.
You're making fun of yourself, which people always get behind. And that endears you to the crowd. It really does, you know? Did when you first came in, did they push it that you were Flair's daughter? Or did they try and hide it?
I couldn't
first?
Woo. I couldn't chop. I could not do anything.
Really?
Actually, the chop and the woo never ever once did it in a match until I wrestled Natty when my dad was in my corner and Brett was in hers at NXT. Then I really didn't chop or woo or anything. It just kind of, once I dropped the NXT title and was in that transition period for like 6 or 8 months, I was just like, oh, I'll just chop and woo. Like, because I'm kind of, you know, a baby face, not because they love me, but the fans grew to respect me. Hmm. I think, 'cause I'd been in NXT for so long, and not so long, but I mean a part of some,
yeah, for a while, yeah,
important matches. And then I get to the main roster, and then I start using the figure eight, which I'd only use like once or twice in NXT. So no, it just all kind of evolved. That's what I mean by when we debuted on the main roster, the fan base that didn't know me hadn't seen my story.
Seen the evolution.
The evolution, right, of like when Charlotte started, she never used, or when I started, I hate talking in third person or first person, but what I had, you know, why all of a sudden did I start chopping and wooing?
So it was like they were basically saying, don't be relying on the Flair tricks.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
How did you get the name Charlotte? Where did that come from?
Honestly, I wrote down a bunch of names, and it was between Ella Reed and Charlotte. And I just don't think they thought that I was going to be good or go anywhere. I don't know, because here, like I said, I walked in, Ric Flair's daughter, who never wanted to be in the business before.
Yeah,
here
never
I
worked,
am.
Yeah.
Never worked, mm-hmm. Knew nothing. Like, they probably were like, well, this is funny, let's just name her Charlotte. No effort.
Yeah.
They didn't think I, but I, that's kind of like, you named me Charlotte.
You could have been Carolina. Carolina North.
Very funny. That would
be great. That's it, Carolina North.
that'll be my next name.
That's perfect. I love it. And Ella Reed, that could have been you as well.
Yeah.
Ella Reed. See, that's funny to me. Like, I never knew that you guys wrote down ideas for names. I thought they just like, here's your name.
I gave them 10. I gave them Miss Elizabeth, but not thinking of Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, you actually put a Miss Elizabeth down? Yeah. That one's taken.
I know you think.
Can't use that one.
Well, because my mom's name was Elizabeth. I know.
Well, she really doesn't know anything about wrestling.
They probably were like, oh my God, this idiot. But I wrote down Elizabeth Reed, because uh-huh, it was my mom and Reed's name. And then I put short Ella Reed. I think I put Charlotte down.
Mm. Do you remember any other ones? Miss Elizabeth. That's great.
I think I put maybe Eliza down. And
you're just going through like every soap opera.
I know.
Cast
well, that's
what
Ashley
of, right?
Elizabeth, my name is from a soap opera.
Is it really?
My mother named me after a soap opera.
Which one?
Days of Our Lives, maybe. Or Bold and the Beautiful.
You heard it here first, kids, on Talk is Jericho.
So I just think they gave me, they were like, oh, let's not put effort. We'll just put her as Charlotte.
So you think that there might have been that vibe that she was just, oh, she's just going to come give it a try. And she'll probably be gone in 6 months or so.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I started Bill DeMont's first day.
Mm.
Or maybe he had been there a couple, I don't know, right when he transitioned and I came. And the one thing I will give, I'm pretty conditioned. So the blow up drills, my dad was like, I might not be able to wrestle, but no one's going to beat me in a blow-up drill. I'll tell you that. So I think I started to gain everyone's respect because the more we did blow-up drills, no one could blow me up.
So what's a blow-up drill?
Just like there was at FCW, there was two rings in the main room when you walked in, and all the boys and girls would have to do, you know, when you, what do you call it? When you jump over the...
Oh, jump over the top rope?
Yeah, jump over the top rope.
Vault over the rope.
Vault over...
I don't even know what that's called.
I don't know. What is it called?
You're grabbing the top rope and jumping over it into the ring. It's what 80s babyface used to do to show how limber they were.
Yes.
Yeah, you're vaulting over the top rope.
Vault, whatever.
You missed the time when Michael Hayes tried to do that at a house show and he caught his foot and fell face first into the ring.
Shut up.
It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. Ask him about it.
Do they have that on tape?
I'm sure they do. They probably show it. You know how it is around here. They probably played it 100 times when we were practicing. So, okay, so you're vaulting in.
So we had to do that. So we had to do it 10 times in every corner.
Okay.
So that's and then run over to the next and do it 10, 10, 10, 10.
Like vaulting and in and out?
Vaulting in and out, but on either side. So the turnbuckle on either side. So 1, 2, 3, 10, 10, 10, 10. And I was surpassing the guys, and Bill was like, get out of her way. And I think that's when I earned all the coaches' respect, because they were like, holy crap. And then, you know, running the ropes for a minute and then standing in the middle of the ring and doing just, you know, bump when they yell bump or get up fast feet. That was one thing my dad had, you know, always, I'd been with a personal trainer for a very long time. So I think I earned their respect just because I, you know.
You're in shape.
I was in shape. So not that I had know how to lock up, but I can definitely run some ropes. So I think that's when they started to realize, okay, she's athletic, maybe she'll last, you know.
And here you are.
Here I am.
Who was your first match with, do you remember?
Yes, Emma.
Oh wow. Yeah. Where?
FCW.
Oh okay.
It was in October of that. Well, I started in July, had my first match with her in October.
Were you nervous?
Oh my god. Yeah, she worked my leg. Thought I was. It was like six people in the audience, and yeah, I was. I remember like it was yesterday. And then we had a Divas Battle Royal in October for Halloween, and then the Christmas one. Yeah, I was very nervous.
Because back in FCW, you guys didn't have any road shows or very minimal.
No, we had road shows.
Oh, did you?
But
okay.
I was a ring announcer.
Oh, really? You did that
shows.
Too?
I was very bad at it. And I was like, wooing at the ring announcer is not, this is not a good look for me.
Oh, they're wooing at
they,
you.
They would just woo me because they knew I was Ric Flair's daughter.
How did they know?
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, people know nowadays.
People know.
Right?
So
they're reading it online.
Like, the girls are wrestling and I'm a ring announcer. This is not cool.
Was Eddie's daughter a ring announcer too?
Shaw was there. Yeah. Well, but she was when I first got there, Shaw was working.
Okay.
And then she took some time away and then came back to FCW and was, you know, wrestling and ring announcing and doing backstage work with everyone. Yeah, but I didn't really get to. I never got to wrestle Shaw because I wasn't wrestling yet.
Did you have like a little bit of a kindred spirit with her because she's in the same boat as you? Her dad, also one of the greatest of all time, in the business, being judged as a Guerrero.
Not as much when I first got there, but when she came back, we definitely, you know, shared that. My dad is so close to her mom.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It was just that automatic bond. To be, yeah, I know that sounds weird, but it is when you've had a parent and she's like, I get it. I get the pressure you're under and the stress. And, you know, she's just like, you know, be you. And if anyone ever had a chance, Shaw is one of the most creative people I have ever seen.
Really?
The stuff that she was doing in NXT, just this over the top glamorous. I mean, she's got such a different look than anyone. You know, I actually kind of envied her because I just felt like this generic blonde and I am kind of like my dad. And she could bring so much, you know, to the table creatively. And I feel like that's what I struggled with the most because, yeah, I could be a heck of an athlete, but you have to entertain people in this industry to last. And that's what I'm, you know, trying to.
It's the personality and the character.
Personality.
And
yeah.
Once again. Here you are, the daughter of one of the greatest personalities in wrestling history,
I know.
Right? So you're always going to be judged on that.
Yeah. So I will just continue to work harder at it. And when we were in NXT, they had an acting coach from LA come work with us. And individually, he wanted to get to know us to bring out, you know, what can we use as our muse?
Hmm.
Or not muse, but what feeling can we tap into when we are acting, not acting.
When you're playing your
when
character.
When you're playing your character. Oh, well, mine was Reed and playing off, you know, the guilt of him never getting to see me wrestle. So having the acting coach come in and then, because I'd never been through any kind of acting or, you know, stage presence or anything, you know, it was just sports. So that was a big help in, you know, what emotions do I try to, you know, tap into before I go out there for promos?
That's method acting. You know, that's great teaching. I left here in 07. I was super burned out. and I went to LA to study acting.
Yeah.
I wanted to just study it. And I did a lot of improv out there and learned to commit like we talked about and how to drop in. That's an acting term.
Drop in.
Drop in, right? You're dropping into the character. And after I, when I came back, it was 2005, I came back 2007, I had a whole new lease on how to play. Okay, I did some of my best work in that year and that time frame because I understood that concept of how to drop into it and bring out this poison that's in there. And you know what I mean? That really, really helps.
Well, it's like you said, bringing out that poison. That's been, too, trying to find a lighthearted side to me, because I feel like because I've wanted so much so fast that it's like go, I've got it, like it's so intense, it's like okay, let's find the lighthearted side of you somewhere. But it's only because I'm such a competitive person that I need to find the lighthearted side of my competitiveness to bring out a different side of me. So that's what I think what's been helpful the last couple of weeks, because it's I'm not as like intense. I'm like finding different ways to portray.
Yeah, and there's a time to be intense.
Yeah.
But if you're intense all the time, then you're one note. Exactly.
Yep.
Even like when we talked about with a promo, if you know, if you're always shouting and yelling and screaming, you gotta bring it down sometimes and let people listen to what you're saying, and then you can bring it back up. But if it's the same, you just get bored.
They're like, okay. Thank you for yelling at me.
Yeah, sorry. A few more questions. What did your mom think when you told her you're going to get into wrestling?
I think she was just worried about me getting hurt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all. But she'd been, you know, helped read and, you know, seen him wrestle in the Indies while I was at college. So she was fine with it, just so she didn't want me to get hurt.
Right. She must be proud of you now, though.
No, absolutely. She's coming to Mania this year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's great. I mean, because like, I know your dad is so proud. He's proud of all of his kids. But always, even when you were, you know, just from meeting you back in whatever, so 02, 03, when you came to England, whenever it was, you'd always go, Ashley's got this tournament, and she won this volleyball thing, and she's doing this and doing this. And jeez, man, she's way more athletic than I am. So stop rubbing it in my face, right?
Oh.
But I mean, do you travel with your dad?
Yeah.
How is that?
Oh, God. I get so frustrated. Like, today we were in Pita Pit, and he's explaining to the girl the order. And if it wasn't my dad, I'm like, Dad, you're confusing her. Just stop. Like, we just argue, like, all the time. No, but it's good. I mean, it's fun, too, when, like, Becky travels with us, too, because so when it's, like, the three of us and, like, and we ride with him because he has a car. So if, like, why ditch our rent-a-car? We can ride with him.
Yeah.
It's just, like, the banter between the three of us. It's hilarious.
It's cool, though, because, like you said, your dad was gone a lot when you were a kid. Yeah. And now here you are as an adult getting to spend a lot of time with him. It's like, I wish my dad was on the road, you know? After a month, I'd probably want to punch him. But
like, we were in Europe, and I had to put on his coat for him every time he sat up. And I'm like, God dang it, if I have to put on your coat one more time. But it doesn't, like, if anyone else asked, it would be fine.
Yeah.
But it's just because.
It's your dad, right?
Yeah.
Come on, Dad.
Jesus.
It's like the thing when you were in high school and your dad gives you a ride to school and you make him drop you off like 10 feet away. Now you can't. You have to be with him at all times.
At all times.
So, last couple questions. So, have you had a lot of three-way matches before in the WWE or in NXT?
I've had a few in WWE, me versus Paige versus Becky Lynch. Yeah, I've had a couple. I was a babyface, though, in the three-ways in NXT. It was Becky, Sasha, me, and that's when Becky and Sasha were kind of, you know, a duo as heels. Mm-hmm. And then I was, you know, the babyface. So this will be a completely different three-way for me in terms of two baby faces or a baby face, however.
Yeah, usually the dynamics of two heels and a baby face is a little easier than two baby faces and a heel.
You don't want the two baby faces to gang up on the heel, because that's not how it should.
Right.
But us knowing that already, going into the theater, but thinking that. What makes it hard about three-way is it's got to keep it going.
Yeah.
And like someone can't be sitting on the outside too long.
The conveyor belt.
Yep.
You're outside, you come back in. She goes outside, you come back in.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for you guys, though.
Oh, we're so excited. I know all three of us have a plan for our gear.
Ah, yes.
So I'm hoping that not only will we steal the show wrestling wise, but we'll steal the show for the best
costume wise.
Costume wise,
I would love it if you guys all showed up and you're all wearing the same thing.
I don't think so. Excuse
what?
Me, that's my color.
How was I just thought of this right now. How involved was Dusty in your upbringing when you were training?
Oh,
because obviously Rick and Dusty have a huge history.
Well, it's funny. When I first started, he'd always embarrass me in promo class because he'd be like, "Hey, baby, you still got that Land Rover you've had since you were 14? And I'm like, "Dusty, the kids already hate me. You're making it worse. It's okay, princess. Just sit down. You're like my child. Like, you're not helping me at all. Like, just rubbing it."
So
he's
not
like,
only you're Flair's kid, you're Dusty's teacher's pet.
And he'd be like, "How much Louis Vuitton you brought with you?" I'm like, "Oh my God, Dusty, stop." So that made it hard. And then, I went back to work a week after Reed died. And Dusty, when I walked into the school that day, he said, "Come back to work, move on." Like, not, he wasn't being,
he wasn't
he
being
goes,
gruff.
Move on. He goes, "Tough, what happened? Keep going." And then, I remember he said that. So I was like, "All right." He goes, he basically was like, "Put your big girl pants on," in a very, fatherly way. Then I remember when we moved from Tampa to Orlando, I did this promo, because it was kind of around, I was getting frustrated, like, you know, hadn't had a match. I had actually, that fall, popped one of my,
one of your gimmicks?
My gimmicks.
One of your implants.
And I wasn't wrestling, and the girls, you know, like I said, I was sitting on the sidelines, and then Paige and Emma had a rival, and I did this promo, and it just came from somewhere really deep. And I was talking about, you know, why I give high fives and smiling. And Dusty afterwards was like, "You got it. You're going to make it." And he was my biggest, not only supporter, but someone who would always pull me aside and always believed in me, no matter, you know, if people thought I was just Flair's daughter or... Because he was at... You know, saw me from the first day I walked in that door as this scared, shy, you know, North Carolina girl that had no idea what she was doing. And if it wasn't for Dusty, I don't think I would. One of the reasons why I'm here where I am is because he always believed in me. He had a way of believing, not that I was an underdog, but he had a way of believing in the kids, and he saw something that other people didn't. And that's what Dusty's, you know, known for.
Right.
That's how it was with, you know, Sasha, Becky, and Bailey, is he saw something in them when others didn't.
Last question. What's your favorite match that you've had so far?
Oh, don't give that to me. I don't know. They're all different.
Is there one that stands out in mind that you look upon fondly?
Well, you know, it's an easy one to go to, but my match with Natty... I had not had very many matches on NXT. Maybe like six. And then I had that match with Natty.
With Rick in your corner and Brett in hers?
Yep. And she made me realize that night that I could do that, like that I had the ability to do this. And she brought out a part, one, put me on the map that night. And two, she made me believe in myself. And that's, you know, part of this business is you have to, you know,
right,
believe in yourself. And she just brought out so many emotions, and I was lacking confidence, and I got more confident after that match. So that's probably my favorite, just because
the circumstances
and how much it meant to me personally and professionally.
Got you on the map too.
She put me on the map.
And you got a chance to make that map even bigger. WrestleMania three-way match. And if you need the Carolina North name, I'll let you have it for a low price.
Thanks.
All right, thanks to Charlotte. Her, Becky Lynch, and Sasha Banks are facing off in a three-way match this Sunday at WrestleMania 32, although I think Vince has banned us from using the numbers. It's just WrestleMania. They're going to be fighting for the Divas Championship, the WWE Divas Championship, and there's a good chance they'll steal the show. Well, they'll have the second-best match of the show because I'm going to steal the show, man. I'm telling you right now. And as you heard Charlotte say just a minute ago, she's also hoping they steal the show costume-wise, too. Think again, Charlotte. You don't forget who you're dealing with here. I'm Chris Jericho. I got some surprises. Let me just say this. My new ring jacket, ooh, you are not going to want to miss it. I'm telling you that right now. I'm going to be there versus AJ Styles, and it is going to be incredible. So many great matches, AJ Styles and Jericho, the Women's Diva Championship three-way match, the seven-way Intercontinental Championship match. I'm looking forward to that. Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker in Hell in the Cell. Dean Ambrose versus Brock Lesnar street fight. Triple H versus Roman Reigns for the World Championship. So many great matches. The Rock is going to be there. What's he got in store? This is WrestleMania, baby. It is definitely the Super Bowl, the biggest show of the year for all of us in the WWE. If you're not planning on watching the show, what the hell is wrong with you? Go watch it. It's going to be a show that you will not forget. You will never, ever forget this show. Over 100,000 people will be in attendance, and that's not lip service. That is the truth. It is going to be massive. I'm very excited about the whole weekend. I think I've got a VIP signing with whoever bought those VIP tickets to come say hi on Friday. I got 3 hours of press Friday morning that I tried to get out of until I heard that Vince handpicked me for it, in which case I will definitely shut up and be awesome. Saturday night, of course, the Hall of Fame. Please do not heckle. If you heckle, you're going to get it, all right? Everybody deserves to be there. All great performers in their own right. Some of the biggest of all time. Stan Hansen, are you kidding me? Sting, give me a break. The Fabulous Freebirds. I will be doing a few podcasts this weekend, not ones that you might think of, but they're going to be great, great shows. It's going to be an outstanding weekend for WWE fans and for all wrestling fans. There's so much going on. Ring of Honor is going to be out there, and WrestleCon, and just go out there and have a good time and just enjoy the show. And play along. You know, don't try and be the hot shot that tries to steal the thunder of the guys in the ring. I hated that last week in Brooklyn during the guys in the six-way match when the crowd started chanting, "We are awesome." No, you're not. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. You're not awesome. The guys in the ring are awesome. You sit there. You enjoy the show. You be included in it. But don't forget who's running the show, okay? It's me. I'm running the show. And I'm also looking forward to singing a couple shows with Metal Allegiance. I'm doing April 6th at the Chameleon Club in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I'm doing the Gramercy Theater April 7th in New York City. It's going to be awesome. Still some tickets left available to both shows. You can get them at Ticketfly.com. And then me and Wise Cousin Chad, for the third year in a row, will be going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to see Deep Purple and Cheap Trick get inducted. So it's going to be a very busy, awesome week for me next week as well. Thank you for being a part of it. Thanks for listening. And thanks for subscribing on iTunes and getting all your friends to subscribe and leave 5-star ratings and comments. And thanks for supporting all the great sponsors of Talk is Jericho, including Amazon. They've been with us since day one. I appreciate that. Amazon is the easiest way to support Talk is Jericho. Be an Amazon warrior. Be a Talk is Jericho Amazon warrior and take a picture of what you buy and post it at Talk is Jericho on the Twitter. I will retweet it and I will follow you as well. Get the new Anthrax record, For All Kings. How about the new Megadeth record, Dystopia? How about the new Asking Alexander record, The Black? Dennis and Ben were awesome last week. I love Ben's description of what he did backstage on the couches. And my bad Ukrainian was hilarious as well. Don't forget, you can buy anything you want on Amazon. Just get those links on Amazon by going to podcast1.com. You click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page. Then you hit the Talk is Jericho button. I've got Amazon links for USA, UK, Canada, A. Every time you use those links, no extra fees or hidden charges. We just get a couple bucks back to keep supporting this show so we can keep doing it for free, okay? Go to podcast1.com, click on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. All my great sponsors are there. DraftKings.com, use my promo code Y2J to play for free with your first deposit. DDP Yoga and the DDP Yoga Now app. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. BetDSI.com. Use my promo code TALK10. That's the word TALK and the number 10. They all run together like denim and leather. TALK10 to get 10 bucks off. TrueCar, Geico, all my great sponsors. Thank you so much for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. Next Wednesday, I'm going to have a full review of my WrestleMania experience. I'm going to tell you everything, the highs and lows, the ups and downs. sounds, and I'm going to give you a little bit more rock and roll. I got Queensryche here. I got Todd Latore and Michael Wilton from one of the greatest heavy metal bands that ever come out of the 80s. They're still killing it. Great records, great stories. So I got Todd and Mike from Queensryche will be here. My WrestleMania review, all that and more next Wednesday. We'll see you then. Have a great WrestleMania. Stay hard, stay hungry, stay heavy, and a big dipple.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.